Amen. Now, part of my job as a pastor, as a shepherd, is to try to slow you people down because you're hurried and you're rushed and you're trying to do all the many things you think that you need to do to get through your life. And sometimes we get so caught up in all those things that we start dropping out the priorities of our life. Paul has been reaching into our souls, grabbing hold of our hearts, and pulling us back in this great gospel, not ashamed, book of Romans. And he's really rocked my world, and I've heard testimony after testimony of how God has been breaking hearts and breaking down barriers, healing, restoring people's lives. The gospel, not ashamed, the power of God unto salvation. In our study, Paul has brought us to chapter 15. The whole chapter's filled with very practical realities about how to live out the gospel, how to live out spiritual life. And he is teaching us that this is a life that is a call to self-denial, not a call to self-fulfillment. These are spiritual disciplines. Paul is teaching us that the gospel is about changed lives, people that are being transformed. They're no longer walking according to this world, but they have been transformed. And a big part of that is that they participate in the spiritual disciplines that God has given us for our good and for His glory. Romans 15 is filled with many of these. There's approximately 8 in there, and we're going to be walking through those over the next several months. And we have observed over and over again that spiritual disciplines, what makes spiritual disciplines spiritual is the person and work of the Holy Spirit. That it is impossible to participate in spiritual disciplines in the flesh. Amen? That you must be born of the Holy Spirit. You must be sealed by the Holy Spirit. You must be filled with the Holy Spirit to walk in the Spirit and to participate in the spiritual disciplines that God has ordained that we would walk in. Today we're going to take up the spiritual discipline of prayer. And this is a cry out service. And crying out is an intense form of prayer. Maybe you've never made that connection. I remember the day I was saved, I cried out to God. Did you cry out to God when you were converted and brought to Him in saving faith? Prayer is a spiritual discipline. Let me just read verses 5 and 6, verse 13 to 30 in chapter 15, if you'd follow along with me. Paul says, "Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now I urge you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Dear Lord, Father, Holy Spirit, be pleased to stir up our souls this day, to open the eyes of our heart, to let us abound in hope by the power of your Holy Spirit, and strive together as we walk out this life. Touch us, Father, in a powerful way through your Son and through your Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen." Now, often in Scripture, Prayer involves what we are going to look at today, crying out to God. Crying out to God. Again, if you'll think back through your life, I'm sure there are many times when you had nowhere else to go. You were driven, your back was up against the wall, and you cried out to God. I want you to think about those times. Cry out services here at Christ Community Church are a practicing of the spiritual discipline of doing exactly that. Of a group of people coming up out of the world. We're the called out ones. We're the church. And we cry out to our Lord that He would do something that only He can do. We were just singing this in a beautiful way just earlier. That's why we're here today. And God has ordained that you're here. This is a special time. Crying out to God is an act of desperation. It is a confession that we are totally and utterly dependent upon Him for all of our life. As Paul said, abounding in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, Christ's community, let's cry out to the Lord, realizing we cry out for the Holy Spirit. God the Father and God the Son have sent the Holy Spirit. We live in the dispensation, if you will, of the Holy Spirit, who empowers the church for the work of God and His coming kingdom. There is power and there is hope and all good things as the Holy Spirit flows through His body to touch people's life. The great apostle Paul called the church in Rome to cry out to God. So this is nothing that we haven't already looked at. As a matter of fact, Jody was quoting this verse just a while ago from chapter 8. Listen to these words again. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if we're children, we're heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him so that we may also be glorified with Him. Indeed, we are the only ones, those who have been adopted into the family, those who have been born of the Spirit, the joint heirs. No longer are we slaves to fear. Man, that's a great testimony. Amen. No more am I in chains of fear. Amen. That's good. Fear is paralyzing. We are the heirs of this great, awesome God. He has given us our inheritance. It is already ours. His Spirit fills us. We have been set free for such a time as this. No longer to be hindered, but to be freed up to go out and to do His calling. Listen, CCC, we are crying out for God Himself to fill us, to set us free from all the bondages that we find ourselves in. Crying out to God. Crying out is an expression of dependency upon God. And it's our faith that's on the table. What do we believe that He's going to do? Do you think He hears you when you cry out? This is faith and trust in the goodness and power of God to act on our behalf. Our cry to God acknowledges God's ability to do what no one else can do in our life. No one. There's no therapist. There's no education. There's no counseling. There is nothing that comparable to what God can do in changing us and making us more than we could ever be by any of those other means. Crying out is an admission that we must have God move and change us. During a great storm on the Sea of Galilee, you'll remember Jesus was in the boat with his disciples, and he had gone up into the front of the bow of the boat and just gone asleep. And they were out there moving across the sea, and a great storm came up, and they became terrified. They began to cry out, "Lord, we're going to drown. We're going to perish." It's often difficult for us to admit that we cannot take care of ourselves, let alone those that are right around us. We see them in the storms of life, going down for the third time. And we would go in there if we could and pull them out. But you can't do it. You can't do it. Sometimes you can't even pull yourself out. And that's a revelation that shakes us. It brings us to the reality of the consequences of our own selves. That we cannot change even ourselves. We can't change our spouse. We cannot change our problems that we have with other people. We can't change our children. We see them growing harder and we want them to change, but they will not. It's true. And that's why we must see that only God is the one who can change. And that's when we end up where we're at right now, crying out to God. Crying out to the only one, because he not only creates us, he redeems us. He renews, he restores us. He's going to resurrect us. That's the power of God. When the situation becomes so desperate that only God can deliver, that's when we cry out. And that's our folly. All the rest of the time, what are we doing? We think we got it. I got this, God. I don't really need you today. Yeah, I'll go through the motions. But we think we can handle it. Wow. That's why we live so much of our life in the flesh. And that itself is the worst kind of sin. Walking in the flesh for the Christian, living in carnality for the Christian, is the worst kind of sin. Listen, do you tend to believe that you only need God's help with the really hard things in life? Jesus' disciples had to be taught this lesson over and over and over again. In that storm where they were at that day, on the sea, miles maybe from land, the wind blowing, Jesus is asleep. Strong winds begin to make the water cap, and it spills over into their little ship. And they were bailing it out as quick as they could, but evidently it got so bad, and they thought, we're not going to make it. Man, we're fishermen. We've done this before, but something's not working right here. We're going to die. Yeah. The storms of life are going to blow into your life like that, and you won't be able to stop them. You won't be able to bail yourself out. You won't be able to bail anybody else out. They were feverishly working, but it wasn't working. And so finally, in desperation, they go up to the front and they shake Jesus and say, "Wake up! We're going to die." What a scene. Is that not us? Is that not us? Storms are raging right now in your soul, inside of you. And they bust out inside of your home, in your family life. They go to work with you. They go to school with you. You watch it on the evening news. We don't have evening news no more, do we? Just 24/7. Rioting in the streets. Everybody blaming everybody. The 21st century, we have solved no problems. We're never going to, because that's not what we're here for. We're here for a purpose, and we need to get back to that purpose. Our Creator created us for a purpose. And you can fight that, and you can deny that all that you want. Listen to this. Jesus said it as loud and as clear as he could. He says, without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. The nations make an uproar. Kingdoms totter. That was written by King David thousands of years ago, and it's just as true today as it's ever been, and it's always going to be that way. And you know what you can do about that? Nothing. All the armies, all the navies, everything, they're going to do nothing about it. Nothing. When they awakened him, he stood up and he looked at them and he said, oh, you have little faith. And he walks to the edge and he just says, be still. And it calmed down. The wind was gone. The rain stopped and the sun came out. And they finally begin to realize, this guy's not like anybody I know. Jesus is God. He is God Almighty. And that's what changes you. When you begin to get a glimpse of who he is, that he's this man who can command the oceans, turn the wind, and just speak, and it's calm. When you've given your best in the flesh, when you've come to the end of yourself in the flesh, and you cry out to him, and you see him just move and change everything, that ought to be a time when we just walk away and say, I'm not getting this, God. Help me. That's what this is about. That's what this is all about. Maybe we're all like blind Bartimaeus. You know him? He was a beggar who lived on the streets. He sat on the side of the road and he begged alms. He begged money. That's the only thing that he could do. But he heard that Jesus was coming, and a crowd starts to build. And he's blind, he can't see, he doesn't know what's going on, and he just begins to cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the crowd, they said, shut up, shut up. He doesn't want to see anybody like you. Yeah, he does. He does. He wants to see you. And he said, who is that? Bring him here. And he brought him. And he says, what can I do for you? And he says, Lord, I just want to see. I've never been able to see. I've been blind all my life. I just want to see. And Jesus says, your faith has healed you. Receive your sight. And this man miraculously could see. And he became a follower of Christ. And I'm telling you about him today because he was changed by the power of God, because he cried out to God and he believed that God could change him. Do you believe? Where are you this morning? Where are you? You know, we go to church. We go through the motions. We go through the program. We go back out and we go right on with our lives. We've got our own agendas. You gonna keep doing that? God says, look, that's coming to an end, and it's coming quicker than you know. You can't stop it. You can't control it. You're out of control. And the only hope that you have is the gospel. The only hope that you have is to come before God and to pour yourself out before Him and say, oh God, like blind Bartimaeus, just have mercy upon me. Won't you listen to these words from 2 Chronicles? You've heard them many times before. Listen to them fresh. God says, if I shut up the heavens so that there's no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, and He has, or if I send pestilence amongst the people, and He has, and my people who are called by my name will humble themselves to pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. You can take this right into your world. You can take it right into your storms of life. You can take it right into your pestilence. And you can fall on your face before God. And you can cry out. And you can own your sin. You must emphatically own your sin. In just minutes, we're going to observe the Lord's Supper. Own your sin. Prepare yourself. Listen to me. We're talking about prayer. Part of prayer is to confess to God. Prayer is you talking to God. Praising Him, yes. Thanking Him, yes. Confess your sin. Own your sin. Own your sin. Listen to these words from Paul. Just look at me and listen to these words. They're not on the screen. Paul says, therefore, I urge you, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and a holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Jesus gave His body and His blood as a sacrifice so that we could do that right there. So that we could say, yes, I'm coming to you. I agree with you. I don't want to be conformed to this world anymore. I'm sick of it. It's just making me sick. It's making me diseased. I'm sick of it. And I want to come. I want to confess my sins to you. I want to present myself as a living sacrifice to you, holy and acceptable to you, that I might know what you want me to do. Renew my heart, renew my mind. So right where you're at, we're going to take just a few moments. David, if you would come and assume one of the tables, I'll take this one over here. Right now, bow your heads before your Creator, before your Redeemer. He says if we will confess our sins, that He's faithful and He's just to forgive our sins. How great is that? Holy Spirit, be pleased to convict our hearts of our sin just now, because we are blind. Our hearts are deceitful, desperately wicked, and we can't see. Show us all of our sins. Overwhelm us with our sins, Lord, for they are many. And we probably can't list them all, but just a few. We just want to lift them up to you right now, Lord. We want to present ourselves as a sacrifice, and that means we're bringing our sin and we're heaping it upon you. You're the one true sacrifice. You're the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So right now we're just heaping that upon you, Lord, and we're asking you, forgive us, hear our cry, and heal us, and heal our land, and make us whole, Lord. Please, God, heal us, forgive us, fill us with your power so that we can live this mighty gospel you've given us out. Now, if you're there, if you've done that, the Bible says he's forgiven you. You can walk worthy. That you are a child of God. That you're heir with Christ. And he invites you to come to his table and to sup with him. These tables are open to you as individuals. If you're by yourself, you want to come as families, you're welcome to come. Come now.